Good morning. Glad to have you here again today for another in the series of Read the Word. If you saw a little bit of a scowl on my face, it's like, for some reason, my two pictures in the background are turned around. Anyways, welcome. It's like you look at it and like, wow, I wonder what that's all about. So we're glad to have you with us today. This is Read the Word. If you happen to be picking this up right now, welcome. Good to have you here. We make it go live so that it's available for everybody at about midnight. Every night, so that you can have it for your devotional first thing in the morning when you're waking up. Or those of you that work third shift, you can be studying it and reading it, listening to it, enjoying it throughout the night. If you've never been on this program, this is a program where we're going to read through the Bible in 1 year, and recorded every one of them right here on YouTube. And there's a YouTube playlist you can go to, and you can start in Genesis and go all the way through the Bible. This is day number 302, 63 days left in this year. And so, welcome. We're glad to have you here with us. We're reading it chronologically, which means as exactly how it happened historically. So it has been very interesting, and you'll thoroughly enjoy it. There's pretty great discipleship through it, just as you read through the Word. And, take a weekend. Seriously, take a weekend. You and your family sit down. You and your wife sit down together. If you're not married, you and your girl, you and your man. We'll leave it at that. Sit down together and put this on and just go through it. Say, we're going to find out who God is by reading His Word. And it is amazing how it will change your understanding of where you're at and where you're going. Well, here we go. We're going to say our opening prayer confession that we do now. So hold your Bible up. I got all kinds of stuff hanging out of mine. I got about 8 messages going all at once here. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says. I am what Jesus, the living Word, says I am. I receive this Word tonight. Place it in the soil of my heart, producing 100-fold return and more in my life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Here we go. John chapter 11. One chapter today. So this is going to be a good chapter. Jesus is raising Lazarus from the dead. And then more of Jesus' life and people trying to kill him and all that. Just like it happens every day with Jesus. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now it's interesting how many people, the New Testament actually says, the Gospels actually say Jesus loved them. Jesus loved these. Says that Jesus loved the rich young ruler. Interesting, isn't it? Be a good study. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered and said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." His disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Kind of a random statement is that. Sorry, keep reading. 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you." Now remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5. He said, "I only do what I see my Father do." John chapter 8, he said, "I only say those things that I see my Father saying, hear my Father saying." Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself." Those are the Jesus of Nazareth's words. "I can do nothing of myself." So he's functioning in all of this in the righteousness of God, his Father. And he's functioning because Father tells him what to do and he goes and does it. And he stayed. He didn't go. He stayed. Verse 22. "Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "Well, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were in her house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You know, it reminds me of those verses in Romans 10 that says, don't say if we go up to heaven, we'll get him. If we go down to hell, we'll bring him up. Where's the word? It's in you, in your mouth, in your heart. Say it. Say the words. And the Syrophoenician woman said, my daughter's at home. She wasn't with her. And Jesus healed her daughter at home. You and I, you know, of course, Jesus said that this was to give glory to the Son of God. But makes you wonder how much of it was teaching, well, then seek my face and ask for it whether I'm here or not. I got to keep going because otherwise I'll just start preaching. 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Jesus didn't weep because he was sorrow of heart. He was going to raise him from the dead. Jesus wept because they didn't get it. They did not get it. And he wanted them to get it. Because why would he cry? He's getting ready to raise him from the dead. He knows Father sent him to raise him from the dead. So why would he cry? It's not sorrow. He's going to be alive and standing there next to him. Don't you love the Bible? I love the majestic word of God. 36, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" Some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of Lazarus, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" It's a powerful statement. And I receive it in my life that Jesus is saying it to me. Did I not say to you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Yeah, you did. And I believe you. 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Thank you, Father, you hear me. And I know you always hear me." Always. 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Oh, probably a lot louder than that. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." And he did. And Lazarus was free. Lazarus was free. You and I, once we're born again, we've got to have someone around us to help us loose those grave clothes from us. That'll be your pastor in your church. That'll be fellow believers in the church, the eldership ministry in the church. That's God's system. That's how he set it up. Because you're going to have help to do it. That's why we're here. And able, willing, and working to help you every single day. In Jesus' mighty name. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. Some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Now that ain't true. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you consider it. Do you consider that it is expedient for us that one should die for the people and not the whole nation should perish?" Now, this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die before the nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Therefore, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. 54. Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? That he will come to the feast or not?" Both the chief priests and Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it that they might seize him. And as we do awesome, oftenly, we end on a cliffhanger. Now, this is our time when we do circle the wagons, which means everything we read today, let's circle in a wagon, build a campfire, sit down and talk about it. Because it doesn't do a lot of good to keep reading the Bible and then not get the revelation of what Jesus is actually talking about. Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead because the Father showed him that by gift of the Spirit. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit just like you are. You and I are. And so that's how he's functioning every single day. And so Jesus went there to show the glory of God. And all the and many people around him believed. And many said, "Wow, here's look at the amazing works." And of course, now Lazarus is alive. And the sisters are happy. And everybody is awe and is in awe of the power of God that is manifesting. That's one of the signs of a New Testament church. Is signs, wonders, and miracles are happening for everybody to see. For everybody to see. And you and I look at it and say, "I don't go to a church where there's any signs, wonders, or miracles. Nobody's ever been healed here." We got to consider why you're there. Has Father said for you to be there? Or are you just there because it's the closest church building and they're nice people and they all seem to like me? Ask the Father to get you positioned in a ministry that is making things happen. And remember, he's guiding you from the inside out. He lives in you. And he's guiding you from in there. and he'll lead you to the group of believers that are actually believers, that are actually doing the work of God and are actually in faith believing for what God is going to do in your life. Oh, where's my verse I was looking for? I'm in the wrong chapter, evidently. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. God puts you where he wants you. And let's see. What's my next verse? 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed in the church. And then he starts listening. God has a place where he wants you to go, where you're going to grow, develop, and be established. He's got a group of people that will love you and help you grow. He's got a pastor that will lead you, and it's the right voice for you. And you've got to do the work in prayer and fasting privately yourself to say, God, where do you want me? Because you got to be where God wants you to grow. Well, Pastor, there's lots of churches. I can just go wherever I want. Well, you can. You're a free moral agent. But that doesn't mean that in that place will you will find that deliverance that you might need. Some of you are going to find great deliverance right here. And it's going to stretch you because you're used to a church building and a Sunday school class and all of those other things. I would never force anybody to be here and receive this. But I know that God's led many people right here to help us do what we do. And we're to help you come to the understanding of who Almighty God is. That's how God's kingdom works. So Jesus went there where Lazarus was and established a pretty powerful group of believers in that area. Why? Everybody looked at Lazarus. Everybody said, that man was dead. He's now alive. Really? They were no different than you and I are today. And of course, as Jesus would say, all things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them that believe. And you believe. And you're going to see the glory of the Lord. And of course, once again, in this chapter, Jesus, like, quit listening to the religious people that don't want the power, don't have the power, don't even know there is power. Get away from those people. They're going to lead you into a religious spirit that will not give you victory. And you don't want that in Jesus' mighty name. Well, it is time for us to pray the prayer of salvation. We do this every time we come here because I always want everybody to have the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, you pray. I know I need you in my life every day. And according to God's holy word, John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Now here's where you make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands up and just say, I receive you into my life right now. All of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and your righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. And now, what just happened? Well, what just happened is God came in to live on the inside of you because you welcomed him. Jesus in John 14 and John 17 says that we might be made one with the Father. Well, how is that going to happen, Pastor? Not time, not grade, not degree, not philosophy or theological degree of any kind. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And when you said, Jesus, I receive you, Jesus came in and he filled your whole being. You no longer have doubt and confusion or misunderstanding. You are now filled with the nature of Almighty God. You're filled with the nature of Almighty God. And God is leading you from the inside out so that you can know who he is. He's the greatest father there's ever been. And he's going to walk beside you every single day of your life. Every day. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And he's going to lead you from right in here. Oh. And you might say, Pastor, I don't know anything about it. Well, get you a Bible. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference. You can pause the tape later and see that name. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible because it has a serious amount of Bible study aids. Not Bible philosophy that somebody's going to give you. Where you just sit down with the Bible and let the Bible teach you about a doctrine. And it's a valuable, a blessing to you. Now, God just adopted you into his family and made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Get your Bible, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts every day. And you'll grow and you'll begin to see who God is and Jesus is and how much Jesus detested the spirit of religion and how he healed so many people. It's an exciting book. The book of Acts is the beginning of the church. You'll love that. And then every day, all day long, talk to God like he's your father standing right beside you. But it's a little better than that because he's your father living inside of you. Begin to say, how am I doing? What's happening? Speak to me, Father. And all of a sudden on the inside will become a knowing of what he wants to do. And I encourage you, just walk with him. When you wake up in the morning, say, Father, help me walk with you today. And he is helpful. He is going to help you all the way. Now, click like, hit subscribe, ring the bell. There's no benefit for us to do it. That way you're just notified that you can have the notification every time we go live. People say, well, yeah, but Pastor, you can get paid. I ain't getting paid by these guys. Not until they come and say, what's your terms? I'm not doing it on their terms. That's wicked. Won't be a part of that. But I just want you to be able to follow us. We've got this program. We got a prayer program in the morning at 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. And then an evening program where we just openly study the Bible. And that is at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on this channel. And if you'll connect with us, your life will grow. Well, that's all I got for today. Tomorrow's Saturday. On Sunday, we will have communion together, and we want you to be there with us on that day in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.